everybody, to another great edition of Talking Tigs. I am, of course, Scott Gerard, and joining me, as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Got a good one for you this week. Baseball took another sweep this week, undefeated. We had a midseason win against North Dakota State, well, a couple, actually, and then the Tigers actually just completed a sweep this weekend of North Alabama. We'll go over that. We'll wrap up the regular season basketball news for men's and women's. Probably could be more positive there, but that's out of our control. And any other newsy notes that we have for you. But before we do, I'd like to check in with you guys, see how everything's going. Pretty good week here. I mean, it's it's the calm right before the March Madness, which, I don't know, I'm not really as vested in college basketball because, you know, ever since like the Dale Brown days, we haven't had a real good reason to. But March Madness itself is always something that I'm interested in. And of course, you know, there's always baseball. But how are you guys doing?
Good. Good to be with you. Good to be talking about very good week of baseball. Excited about that. Watched a lot of college basketball this weekend. Just kind of like was on and turned it on and kind of, I mean, enjoyed it. Watched Auburn and Alabama play a thriller. Auburn took their, I think, third loss of the season. Still looks the part though. Bama looks good. Then ended up watching Carolina and Duke, which is always a good series. And then watched LSU, which did not look good, but baseball made up for it. So, a good week all around.
Yep. Good to be with y'all. Baseball racking up 5 more wins on the week, extending their winning streak to 11 straight games for the number one team in the country, at least in some polls. So, nothing to be too sad about there. Thankfully, they had one big kind of comeback win in the first one, and the rest were mostly smooth sailing. But yeah, overall had a nice week, and yeah, getting into this March Madness, I guess this time next week we'll be all filling out our brackets to see who's going to be cutting down the nets later in April, actually. But sadly, LSU men won't be there. Women had a little bit of a rough week as well, but they'll be having their hopes still alive. So excited to look forward to all that.
Right on. I guess the best, most positive news would be LSU baseball. I would include women's softball in that too. I think they're ranked number 4. They just had a sweep this weekend. They hosted like a round robin tournament. So, you know, we'll definitely keep an eye on that, because anytime two programs are, you know, being successful at the same time, then I don't know, you can't ignore it. It's just, you know, the product of the boot. LSU's got a lot of teams competing right now, which is great. Unfortunately, men's basketball will not be one of those moving forward. Oh, well. But as far as men's baseball, yeah, we had a sweep. Didn't look like it was going to start that way this week. Tigers fell down early to North Dakota State. They were down 7-0. Well, 7-1 at one point. And, of course, they came back in dramatic, gritty fashion to take that first game 11-9. And then the next one, they won pretty handily, right? They run-ruled them 13-3. But it's, you would say, oh, wow, maybe North Dakota State's one of those, you know, feisty lower-tiered teams that, if given the chance, could do some damage. Maybe, but it's like they only had one win going into this week. So, I don't know. LSU, again, we got the wins. Record looks good, but still struggled at starts. But it was after a long weekend. It was a Tuesday game. I would just say maybe they kind of had a slow start. Probably like that Omaha game where they did end up losing. But, again, corrected themselves on Wednesday. And then, of course, had a nice sweep of North Alabama this weekend. No game was really, you know, in question. Even if Tigers were down by a run or two early, they were in hand. They had the game in hand after that. LSU starting pitching still looks good. I mean, they're only giving up, a couple runs each. They're all still going 5-6. I think Ianson went 7 innings in his game, had 15 strikeouts, which is great. So as much as, you know, we might look at how close we did lose a game here and there, but I think we have to be confident in our starting pitching. It's just, you know, if the offense is going to be there to support them or not. But for the most part, this week they did. Had a lot of good looks on the ball. I think they're getting better. So, yeah, just keep doing what we're doing until we face the SEC. Then we'll really know, right?
Man, I was impressed this week. I mean, especially, I know you talked about like that, the early tough game against North Dakota State, which is not ideal. But I like the grittiness of this team, like you mentioned. I mean, I know there have been LSU teams that would easily just take that loss over the past couple of years.
Especially like,
on a Tuesday night, yeah, on a midweek, we have traditionally not been immune to, you know, losses that we shouldn't take. So I think it's a really good sign that this team battled back from a huge deficit in a game that you could say doesn't matter. I think it shows a lot of focus. I think it shows a lot of drive. And so I was very impressed throughout the whole week, or, you know, but especially with that win.
Yeah, it was really good to see both fighting from a position of adversity and then pouring it on later in the week against North Alabama. These non-conference games against like lesser opponents, they can hurt your RPI or the BPI, whatever they call it, kind of the power ranking, basically, especially if you lose them, just because the strength of schedule rating is not so high. So the fact that LSU was able to win in pretty convincing margin for most of them, we'll keep that floating up and won't knock LSU too far down. The pitching, like you mentioned, Scott Ianson, the Saturday game against North Alabama being the real highlight, mowing down 15, which was last done, I believe, by Ty Floyd in the College World Series final against Florida when he struck out 17. But yeah, really, really good showing. And then another one was true freshman William Schmidt had another solid midweek outing against North Dakota State, I think throwing four or maybe four and a half innings against them. So we did have a few kind of hit or miss spots, maybe in some relief pitching, coming in and tossing a few walks, but nothing that was like strikingly bad or whatever. And then another big plus, I think, from this week was the increased home run and power production overall. Jared Jones, I think, had three home runs by himself. Josh Pearson, excuse me, had a grand slam today, and then a few people picked up their first ever home run. Kate Aaron Beatty and I believe Tanner Reeves both got their first. Oh, and John Pearson.
John, yeah,
Pearson Jr. all got their first home runs as Tigers, and so that's definite power that we need across the board going into SEC play. Maybe the weather was a little bit more favorable because early on in the season it was kind of cold, wind blowing in at the box, which hampered the homers a little bit. But if we can keep this rolling going into SEC play, then that's going to help us a lot. Especially you see teams like Tennessee, they already have, I believe, 8 grand slams on the season, and the NCAA record is like 14 or something. So they're like positioned to smash that. But yeah, we got to have some pop to compete there. And I'm glad that senior guys like Jared Jones continue to lead us in that. So overall, good signs. And we roll into the first SEC weekend series against Missouri this week. And so that'll be a nice test to see kind of where the Tigers are at.
Right. And speaking where teams are at, yeah, Tennessee looks good. They're undefeated, reigning champs. I guess it makes sense that they're number one in all the other polls. But yeah, it is kind of scary thinking how many grand slams they've hit. But of course, it's like, who have they played already, right? It's like they're playing what? They're playing the North Dakota States, the North Alabamas. You're hitting grand slams against them. Great. I mean, if they're doing this against the SEC slate, then yeah, I'm like, wow, it's like, what are they doing over there? It's like that's an investment for LSU just to hire whoever their hitting coach is. But I don't know. It's probably Tony V. I mean, they've been doing this ever since he got there. Anyway, but yeah, it's like it was good to see the Tigers' bats starting to slowly wake up. And I think the Pearson brothers both hit one in the same game, which I was thinking, oh, my God, has that ever happened? It actually did. Last time LSU had that happen was, I want to say it was early 2000s. It was the Harris brothers, Will and Clay Harris. They both did that in the same game. Amazing that LSU still has that stat from years ago, but crazy that it's happened again. And yeah, it's good to see, you know, Aaron Beatty. I know Hernandez got one too. I think we're pretty good in either spot with a catcher. Like it's just something Jay Johnson, you know, keeps saying. It's like I wish I could get everybody on the field. I'm just there's so much
yeah
depth we can't. So just imagine me in his position. It's like, well, if one guy's not hot for like a game or game and a half, it probably doesn't, you know, it's no sweat off of his back just to swap him out, right? You have you could swap Braswell out with Reeves. You have all these other outfielders that could go. Not Derek Kirill, of course, because the guy's been solid ever since game one. But, yeah, LSU's got talent. I don't think we have to worry about it. It's just, you know, not getting behind early and just letting our pitchers do their thing.
No, I agree. I feel like it's we talked about it early on in the season. We had a chance to have a really complete team. And so far, I mean, what is this, week three, week four? It's really looking like a very complete team. So like Daniel said, I'm ready to see SEC play. I'm ready to kind of, I mean, it's going to be a grind, starting off this week. That, you know, there's no such thing as an easy week in the SEC baseball. But I'm very excited about where this team is right now and what they have the potential to do.
Yep, we do get the Missouri Tigers coming to town in the box for the first series, and they're only 8-8 on the season, so not exactly the class of the SEC, but you never know. LSU's been prone. I think last year we had the curse where we would win the series, but we couldn't sweep like every single week.
Yeah.
And we would win 2 out of 3, and so definitely that's something like you could see happening here. It would be awesome if we get the sweep, but yeah, just to win the series it will be nice, and then just get that real test and first kind of taste of blood, I guess, because it really picks up quickly after that, going to Texas in Austin the week after. And so that'll be one that a lot of people have circled, and then Mississippi State after that. So it's really a gauntlet, and that'll prove the mettle of both the solid starters that we have and these rotational players that Jay Johnson's been working in. So it's a blessing to have people available to plug and play at any time. Just we'll see who's able to step up to the plate literally and figuratively and make something happen.
Yeah. And, I think you'd mentioned earlier, Tommy, about how our propensity to lose these midweek games like in the past. But I think this year it's even more important, because if we do keep winning those like we should and not get down 7-1 to one of these teams, I mean, yeah, if you slip up every now and then, it's okay. I think even Tennessee lost to Lipscomb last year, who's just like, who are they? But it's one of those teams that can just catch you on an off day, you know, like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday where you just, you know, you need a break, but the schedule keeps coming at you. But if that's the case, and if we can win those midweek games, and if we can win at least 2 out of 3, I don't know if the sweep is as important. It's great to get, but I think the key thing is just being one of those top 8 teams at the end of the season when it comes for tournament seeding time, right? It's like, LSU knows it. We've been there plenty of times. You know, we're getting flack from fans from, oh, we lost to Omaha. Oh, our team's got 8 grand slams already. Well, it doesn't matter, because as long as you're a top 8 seed and you win those games in front of you, you're regional and you're super regional, that's all that counts. Because you can be the number 1 team in the country and then lose your home regional like Tennessee did. So who cares what happens now? It's getting that top 8 seed and moving forward. Now, mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, yeah, as far as moving forward, we know men's basketball is not going to do that, probably for the better. Like I think we talked about during the week, even if LSU had an NIT bid, I don't think they should take it. Yeah, I think we should just stay home.
Shut it down.
Yeah, just do some stretches, kind of watch some film, watch some old Jordan Bird highlights or something. You know, just kind of say no thank
play
you.
Play a few pickup games.
Right, just play horse, something. Because it's done for. There's nothing really left to play. It would just be prolonging the inevitable anyway. So, I mean, at least they fought hard in a lot of these games, even though they did lose. Again, you know, Mac McMahon's got another year, so he's got some time to figure it out. I think he's got at least a decent roster to try and put something together. We'll see who he pulls in the offseason. Men or women, on the other hand, we'll see if Mulkey's decision to rest Flo J and have her just ready for the tournament instead of the SEC tournament, which wrapped up today. I believe South Carolina took that. But they did make it to the semis and took #1 Texas to the line, even though they did lose, you could say shorthandedly. But, yeah, I'd say we're in a good position for the women. Well, I don't know. There was something that happened with Mulkey, but I don't think that's going to affect anything, you know, come tournament time, right? Like, I know there was an issue with, like, a family friend or something had passed.
It was kind of a weird situation where they didn't say a lot. She didn't coach the game before the Texas game, but she was back on the sideline last night. So I'm guessing everything's okay, or everything, you know, back to, I don't know if it's back to normal, but back to better.
Right. It was strange because, yeah, very sudden. So hopefully everything's okay with Mulkey. And then the Tigers are shorthanded in their coaching staff with Mulkey being out, and then on the court as well with Flo J. Johnson, one of our best players, out with that kind of shin splints, shin inflammation stuff that Mulkey said was going to hold her out of the SEC tournament anyway. So she hasn't played, but hopefully she'll be back in time for the actual NCAA tournament, as well as Anissa Morrow, probably our number one player, kind of got hurt in that game against Texas also. And Mulkey said that she'll be back, but it's a little bit worrying that two of our kind of three-star players, them along with Michaela Williams, are not at 100%. And when you rely so heavily on these individual players, then things can go south pretty quickly. Hopefully that they'll get enough rest in the next week or two before the tournament starts to be able to make a run for it, and that doesn't hamper us too quickly. But they did lose three out of their last four games in the regular season and SEC tournament combined. So not exactly on a hot streak for the women, but they made runs before, and Mulkey tends to get the best out of them in March. So hopefully she can do the same there. And yeah, on the men, it's basically chalked up. They've got one more regular season game against Mississippi State, but they've lost their last five by a pretty significant margin. So I wouldn't expect too much, and just move on to baseball and better things. I think the football spring training is going on, so LSU eyes are elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have the spring game in slightly over a month's time, almost exactly a month. And who knows? I mean, LSU's did have some news come out about that. We'll get to that in a second, but yeah, I'd say the men, I don't know. It would be nice if they did something different in the off season. I know they're trying to bump up their NIL that they want to put towards basketball. So maybe we can get somebody, you know, maybe Matt McMahon can like hit the portal like some of our other coaches have done and bring in some ballers, and LSU can compete. I mean,
He's got $2 million to do it.
Yeah. Like, if you'd have told me 10 years ago, the top basketball teams in the SEC are going to be Auburn, Alabama, and Tennessee. Well, I don't know, maybe one of those I'd have said, okay, I could see it. I think Tennessee was kind of turned around by then, but Alabama
and Auburn?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And Kentucky is okay. Florida's not as good as they were, so tides change, you know, pardon the expression, but it could be a new day for us if we properly invest. Anyway.
Sure.
Now, speaking of investing, I mean, we did lose Bo Davis to the Saints. I mean, I don't know if anyone saw that coming. Sucks that we lost him after 1 year. But we've already found a replacement. Brian Kelly is calling Baton Rouge again. He's going to get Kyle Williams, who used to play at LSU and who actually had a good lengthy career in the pros. I think he played, what, 12 years with the Bills. They were actually trying to get him to come coach with them. He started out in high school, but he's making the leap to college, coming back to his alma mater. I don't know. You could speculate on whether or not this is a good, great, or just kind of a meh hire. I'm putting it at good right now. I think he has the talent in the cupboard to maybe have a surprisingly great fall, you know, especially with Blake Baker's the defensive coordinator. But I mean, say we give him a chance. We don't know too much about him because he's not coached in the college level yet, but it doesn't matter. If you can coach, you can coach. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it's a good to meh somewhere in the middle. I think it's a disappointment to lose Bo Davis, who's, you know, one of the highest rated position coaches really in the game. But having a guy who, like you said, had an experienced career in the NFL, played for LSU, has experience at the high school level with coaching at Ruston. I think that could be a good, a good addition that could help us out. One, I mean, anytime you have good high school experience, especially at a good program like Ruston, that's good for recruiting in the state. And then obviously the experience in the league and playing for LSU, it can be a good combination.
I agree. I think it contributes to the NFLSU trend that they've been pushing over the last few years, where they're really trying to hype up the NFL success stories that have come from LSU. And he was a six-time Pro Bowler, all with the Bills over the course of 12 years, and a national champion at LSU under Nick Saban in the 2003 season. So really kind of been and done it all. So that's definitely something that you can sell to high school guys. Like, if he did it, then I can help you do it as well. And he doesn't have that coaching experience at the college or the pro level, so that's kind of a question mark. You never know how these guys are going to shake up, but does seem like a pretty good culture fit, I guess. And hopefully it translates to recruits as well. The kids these days probably may not have been alive during 2003 when LSU won the national championship. Yeah. So I don't know if that makes as much of a difference. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. And people have been discussing how the LSU versus the Saints is almost like a budding rivalry, where we've been kind of poaching each other's coaches and players and stuff over the last couple of years. And that is kind of an interesting dynamic, considering the LSU college guys really love LSU, and then the pro guys really love the Saints. And those are really the only two kind of premier programs in the state of Louisiana. So yeah, there is a natural kind of cannibalism there. And so hopefully it tends towards the Tiger side overall, but it could be a trend that we watch over the next few seasons.
And the fact that this guy is coming from the high school ranks, you know, Ruston, I don't know what his recruiting prowess would be like. I would think that would help. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he's pretty familiar with the landscape, at least in northern Louisiana. I guess that remains to be seen, because part of the thing with college is recruiting. Pros, there's no recruiting. You watch a lot of film, draft day comes, and you pick a guy. So that'll be a key. I mean, it's not like he's going at it alone. I mean, he's got Frank Wilson, probably one of, if not the best recruiter out there, as well as some other guys. So I don't know. What do you think? Does that, I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to get your opinion too. It's like, is he a good hire, or is he going to be a good recruiter? I think he could be a good recruiter, which could make him a good hire. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I think I wouldn't say he's a slam dunk, makes sense, plug and play, but I'm optimistic. I'm sure. Not saying, oh, this is this is a bad hire.
Yeah. It's not Bo Pelini, right?
True. Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and then I don't know, some other little bit of news. There was LSU had a defensive analyst who was going to be joining us from Oregon. He's not going to be anymore. Just got arrested for some stuff. So I don't know. I think he was going to help with wide receivers, and I don't know. We got so many analysts. I still, that's still a new one to me. It's like they've expanded their coaching positions. Now we have all these analysts, and I don't know if we really see anything different, but anyway, it's just not that anyone's really going to notice. It's just another off season thing. But if that's all that we have, great, because usually we would see something before the spring game, but I don't know. We got less than a month to go. Maybe the record will be clean. Maybe come the spring game, there'll still be, that sign where it says days since our last.
Yeah.
Zero. You wanted to say zero.
Right. For teams like Georgia, it might be a little bit longer, but just over a month till the spring game. And that's kind of another interesting trend that we haven't really discussed, I think, on the podcast, that a lot of teams have been canceling their spring game, saying that they don't want to do it for various reasons. I think they've cited like injury concerns, and then kind of letting their scheme out there.
Portal.
Yeah, transfer portal stuff. It's all kind of weird. I didn't know if y'all really had any opinions on that. In my views, it's not a huge deal, but I think it is a little bit disappointing for the fans who like that kind of early year taste of the program and maybe what's to come. And it allows you to get excited a little bit. And they're saying, oh, you don't get that. Just wait until August or whatever. And that kind of provides a long spring, summer window to have the tension build up.
Yeah, I'm anti canceling spring games. I think spring football is something that is one of the things that makes college football different and better than the pro, you know, the pro football. I think I guess I understand like, well, I don't know. Okay, the scheme thing, I don't buy. They've been doing college spring games since forever. And no one ever was like, oh, like we're going to, you know, we're worried about the scheme getting out. Mm-hmm. The portal thing makes sense to me. I think it was the Nebraska coach, Matt Rhule. Yeah. Matt Rhule, who said that, you know, he was like, we're not doing it because we have a guy who nobody's like really interested in. Then he has a really good spring game. And then he starts getting called and tampered with. I mean, I believe that to a certain extent, but again, I don't think that's a good enough reason to totally cancel a spring game. So I like spring games. I like the bringing college football back and for a little bit every spring and being able to get excited and get, you know, get a taste of what you might see in the next year. And I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a spring performance for any team where I'm like, oh, like that's, this guy's going to be, he's going to win the Heisman. Mm-hmm. Like it's always very scripted. It's always very surface level. You never really, you know, cause they're not going hard. They're not, you know, nobody's, it's not like they're tackling that hard. So, I don't buy it.
Yeah, the only big spring game moment I can remember, at least in recent LSU memory, is Derek Stingley pulling down a big interception. Yeah. I believe it might have been against Miles Brennan, the second team quarterback. But that was a big hype moment, and people were like, okay, Stingley might be the real deal, and he kind of turned out to be in that true freshman season. But yeah, other than that, it's just kind of a fun day to go out there, see your favorite guys, get enthusiastic about football, try not to melt in the heat, and just
see them in see those jerseys. I mean, it's like it's all ceremonial almost.
Yeah, but like you said, they've been doing it forever. I feel like it's only been in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years where they've made such a big deal about the spring game that they televised them all.
Yeah.
And but because there's, you know, people are like, I don't know, America has like cranked up its fixation, its addiction to football. So yeah, after the Super Bowl, that comes right after, and that kind of can hold us over until, well, you know, for pros, they start their off-season team activities like in June, July, and then that's when, you know, the football team starts to release maybe some fall practice videos, and that kind of carries us into the season. The spring game, yeah, it's just a practice. So there's, I don't know, if anyone's going to steal you from a spring game, steal a player from a spring game, I don't know. I mean, chances are they could steal him anyway, right? Like,
yeah.
There's probably what's that guy from Michigan? Like, he was probably up in the bleachers looking like a janitor. Meanwhile, he's filming everybody.
Our Stallion.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. That's always going to happen. Even if you eliminate spring games, people are still going to tamper with your roster because that's just what they do. They are paid to win, and at some point, they feel like they have to do anything to win. Now, I say continue with the spring games. You don't have to televise it. Just let the people that want to go see it in person see it, enjoy it. You're not giving anything away. So I think that's just silliness. But you did mention Miles Brennan. I wanted to mention this earlier, but we did finally get some news about Gavin Guidry because he was supposed to start like 2 weeks ago. He's got some weird injury. I don't know. But when you said Miles Brennan, it reminded me, it's like, it's, I don't know, maybe he was hanging out with Brennan. Maybe Gavin Guidry has a story about a flip flop he's not telling us. Maybe he's got like a weird abdomen / thigh issue that's affected him too. I don't know. Point being is he's just not available. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But LSU's been doing fine without, I would say.
Sure.
I just thought it was.
Yeah, Gavin Guidry, the relief pitcher for LSU, Jay Johnson actually did say it was like a back and mid body injury. So not too far off from Miles Brennan's mysterious,
right,
like abdomen. But yeah, thankfully the other guys in relief have been stepping up. Zach Cowan, Evans, and a few others have really kind of filled into that role. So it doesn't seem like we're in too big of a need just at this point. But yeah, the more quality arms you can have down the stretch, the better.
Yeah, maybe he could be like a Thatcher Hurd, and it's like he wasn't there at the beginning of the season. He was kind of dealing with something, had to work his way back in, and then just came on strong and played lights out once he did get into the game for, you know, like the postseason. So maybe that's the case. Maybe he'll be better rested. Anyway, I think that's all I had. What about you guys?
That's all on my end.
Okay.
I agree. Yeah, LSU baseball taking on Xavier University, I believe, on Tuesday, and then Missouri coming to town starting on Friday. So, yeah, tune in, SEC games, and see you at the box.
Yeah. I'll give a quick tip of the hat to Xavier. I mean, they've been earning their butt kickings. I think they had Vanderbilt the previous weekend. They already played Tennessee. Now they're coming to the box. I mean, good for them. But the name's just kind of familiar with all these, you know, mid-major programs or lower tier teams where they, you know, we have to play somebody. You know, we're not gonna play other top D1 schools in the middle of the week. So thanks to them for showing up. And yeah, hopefully they don't ruin the day, so to speak. Anyway, I think that'll do it for us here on Talk at Tiggs. Tune in next week. We will have a recap of some basketball news for you. We'll probably know who win the men's tournament and definitely see what the women's seating might be like. And hopefully we'll have some more sweep news for you for the Tigers baseball team. Until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talk at Tiggs.